pianist Jeremy Ledbetter with his trio from the album called Gravity, a set of tracks there. The man can play, no question. That last track was called Wonder, and before that, Gravity, and to start the set, Flight. Jeremy Ledbetter. Neat stuff. And it has got us, oh my goodness, we're already at the end of our first hour today. It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to Voyage on CKUW. My name's Keith Black. Well, a different approach again. One of the things that it's one of the things that actually keeps me really interested in the world of jazz for most of my life is that it is peopled with restless spirits. People who just aren't satisfied the way things sound or they could sound, or maybe they should try something different, or what would happen if we did this. It always makes the listening of jazz very exciting. There's a saxophonist called Kevin Sun, who's just released the second volume in his series that is taking live jazz and then putting it through what is referred to as innovative post-production. Meditative evolution of the experimental approach built on variations of a single composition called Shimmering, conceived as a triptych of hypnotic loops, end quote, if that means anything to you. What he's done is he takes live performances and then works with them sort of electronically and all to switch tempo at times, adding delays and just generally messing with how things sound in order to what he would say makes it more interesting. In any event, it's good stuff to listen to, although at times this is really experimental material. It's called Lofi at Lowlands 2. And it has mainly Kevin Sun is doing a lot of the work himself, but he has a trio that is made up of bassist Walter Stinson and drummer Kayvon Gordon as what they call a mirrored trio, where two versions of the band phase in and out of sync. These are all quotes from the and notes, and I'm not sure I even understand them totally, but the listening is sort of cool, regardless of how much you understand of how they got there. So here are a couple of tracks from Kevin Sun at Lofi at Lowlands, Volume 2. The first one is the first Shimmering, as I mentioned, and then Darksome. And then the third one, I am playing a third track, and it's called Shimmering 1, which is the next step down in the Shimmering triptych, or whatever they call it. Kevin Sun, here we go. Thank you. Yes, it just stops like that. Kevin Sun with his experimental album called Lofi, L-O-F-I, anyhow, at Lowlands, Volume 2, with Shimmering there, that repeated, although very different sounding version. There are two or three of them on the album. And it's brought us to 11:17 Central Time. You're listening to Voyage on CKUW 95.9 FM in Winnipeg. And I'm about to go into my historical segment, so it'll be about half an hour or so before you hear my voice again once I eventually stop and play the music. I mentioned at the beginning that if you listen at all, you know that I really can't keep it a secret or try to, that Miles Davis is probably had a little more airtime over the years here than any other individual jazz artist. I love his stuff. And talking about restless souls, as I was just doing with Kevin Sun, that certainly defines Mr. Davis throughout his whole career. My historical segment today, it goes back to an earlier part and before he really got towards the end of his experimentation. But in 1967, he released an album called Miles Smiles. And I think a little play on words there is that he's been known to be a bit of a grouch, and that Miles Smiling caught everybody's fancy, so to speak. The album is a quintet set that is, in my opinion, one of the best examples of one of the tightest and most incredible jazz quintets ever put together. It has, along with Miles, of course, it's got Wayne Shorter on tenor, Herbie Hancock on piano, Ron Carter on bass, and Tony Williams on drums. Quite a lineup. And they do some incredible stuff. In spite of the fact that it's 1967, they do fool around with things in terms of rhythm and setup harmonically and whatever. There are a couple of tracks where, for some reason, Herbie Hancock gives up the left hand entirely and plays only right hand chords just for the heck of it. And there are other things that have been universally accepted. The first track I'm going to play is one called Circle, and it is considered to be one of the best compositions that Miles ever did, and that it just sort of several reviewers have referred to it as the hit of the album. Others are more inclined to put Footprints into that category, and Wayne Shorter's Footprints, this is the classic, as far as I've heard this played so many times by so many people and covered by whatever. And I keep coming back to this one as the one that I think is the best. It will be the second track that you hear today from this album. And I know there are musicians who listen to this album, or listen to the show, and can understand harmonic changes probably better than I can. But I'm going to read one of the things that is stated about Footprints. And it says, the correlation between African-based 12-8 or 6-8 and 4-4 is playfully explored. Drummer Tony Williams moves from swing to the 3/2 cross rhythm and to its 4-4 compound quadruple meter in 12-8 rather than the triple meter 3-4. Because the ground of four main beats is maintained throughout the piece. The bass switches to 4-4 at a couple of minutes in, and Carter's 4-4 figure is known as Tresillo in Afro-Cuban music and is the duple pulse correlative of the 12-8 figure. This may have been the first overt expression of systemic African-based cross rhythm used by a straight-ahead jazz group, end quote. Now, all of that probably doesn't make a lot of sense to a lot of people, and but to the people who think that things just happen in jazz and it's all sort of ho-hum, it doesn't. There's a very great deal of thought and expression and whatever goes into it. And that is the background to Footprints, which is the second track I'm going to play. Third one is Dolores, and it gets... very highly regarded critical review. In every review, this is seen as one of the seminal albums and one of Davis's best. Following that will be Freedom Jazz Dance, and then Gingerbread Boy will end the set. From Miles Smiles, 1967, here's Miles Davis and the Quintet with a set starting with Circle. Thank you.
How that sounds, Teal. played at Teal.
Dio. Dio Macaro was the producer for a lot of Miles Davis albums. And occasionally on the releases, they kept Miles' voice in, usually saying at the end, Dio, how is that? Or Dio, whatever, as if they were allowed to leave it in, that is. You just heard one of the, from 1967, one of the greatest jazz quintets of all time. Miles Davis on trumpet, Wayne Shorter on tenor, Herbie Hancock on piano, Ron Carter on bass, and Tony Williams on drums. They were quite remarkable.